Chapter 2, Luke chapter 2 and verse 52. It's where we will begin. Go a variety of places this morning as we have a topical message for Children's Day, from childhood to maturity. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for the example that Jesus gave to us and his love for children. As he said, let the children come to me. May we be those instruments that bring children to you, that they may know you, believe in you, trust in you, receive you as their Savior, and live for you and serve you all their days. Help us to understand the things that you've said in your word that will contribute to this. And I pray for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Adults give messages to children, whether by the things that we say or the things that we do. And the messages we give to children are very, very important. There was an incident in a high school in upstate New York some years ago. The students in that particular high school were becoming rather rebellious. They were rebelling against the rules. They were rebelling against the teachers. There was a lot of unruliness, and the students decided among themselves that as a symbol of their rebellion, they would all wear black T-shirts to school. And this just fostered an attitude of rebellion among the students. And so the school administration made a statement to the student body that no one was allowed to wear black T-shirts to school. And they called for a special meeting with the parents to discuss this matter of rebellion in the school. When the parents showed up at the meeting, they were all wearing black T-shirts. What message did they send to their young people? Parents, in essence, were telling their children that it was perfectly acceptable to be rebellious. That's not the message we should be sending to our children. I want to take the matter of Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and the four things that identifies in Jesus' development in his human nature, and use that as the basis for suggesting four areas of life in which we need to send particular messages to our young people. It says in Luke 2, 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God, and by implication, in favor with man. Wisdom, the mind. Stature, the body. Favor with God, the spirit. Favor with man in his society. We'll look at these four things. I'll leave favor with God for last. So let's begin with the mind. Increasing in wisdom. The message we need to send to our children about their minds. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11. A child's thinking and understanding are not sufficient for adult responsibility. The way a child thinks and understands is not sufficient for adult responsibility. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 11 says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, what did I do? Put away childish things. Because the understanding, the thinking, the speaking in a childish manner is not sufficient for adult responsibility. Children are too easily tossed about. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. He uses the vulnerability of children to teach us a lesson about the importance of spiritual maturity, but in the process explains to us that children are vulnerable. Children tend to believe what adults tell them. And depending on what an adult tells them, can make a big difference in the way a child speaks and understands and thinks. But if one adult tells them one thing, they follow that. Then another adult comes and tells them another thing, they follow that. There's going to be great confusion in a child's life. They're very vulnerable. And so children need to know things because ignorance gets a lot of people into trouble. You see, the book of Proverbs teaches us that foolish people do foolish things because of what they do not know. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 13 says, "A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knoweth nothing." And in verse 16, it refers to the simple man, as for him that wanteth understanding, and says in verse 18 that he knoweth not something that is important to his survival. Luke 23 and verse 34, when Jesus was being crucified, remember what he said about the soldiers who were putting him on the cross? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." In fact, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." Wow, think of that. Ignorance causes foolish people to do foolish things. Your mind, and this is a message we need to understand as adults and give to children, your mind will not work properly if you do not include God in your thoughts. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Romans chapter 1 and verse 28. Your mind will not work properly if you do not include God in your thoughts. What was the problem here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 28? "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge." Well, what happened? God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness. They didn't like to maintain God as part of their thinking. Aren't we in a world that's like that today? No, we can't have God as part of the thing. Especially in our schools, you can't talk about God. We can't include God in the thinking of our children. And what's happening to people in this country because God has been excluded from their thoughts? You go to a computer and you sit down and you turn it on and you're hitting the keys, and nothing's happening on the computer, and you say to someone, "This computer isn't working." And they say, "Well, of course not. The software has not yet been installed." You can't do anything without the software installed. Well, if God is not installed in your thinking, nothing will turn out right. Remember Pharaoh when Moses was addressing Pharaoh, and Moses comes to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go that they may serve God." And Pharaoh said in Exodus chapter 5 and verse 2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Now, how did that work out for Pharaoh? Not too well. You see, in order for a person's mind to work properly, including a child's mind, God must be included in their knowledge. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That's where knowledge begins. That's where it all starts. If you don't start at the beginning, nothing will make sense. The message we need to give to our young people regarding their minds: God must be included in their thinking. The message we need to send to our children regarding their bodies. Now, leading up to that, let me make a couple of comments. The world puts a lot of emphasis on the human body. We observe that in our culture through things like fashion and fitness and sports. All kinds of physical activities, physical appearance, diets. Now, we need to keep our bodies healthy, but physical abilities need to be kept in the proper perspective. Now, for young people, physical abilities are important. I understand that. In fact, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength." And then it says, "The beauty of old men is their gray hair." Well, gray head, well, gray hair. Yeah. It tells us that older men have to find a different talking point than their muscles. And so we point to our gray head. But young men, to young men, strength is their glory. Before our son Samuel became a missionary, he was the foreman at a concrete form business. And he had grown so strong, he could lift and carry 300 pounds and push 500 pounds. He was really strong. You know, father has to try to be up there too, you know. One summer, between my first and second years in college, I worked for masons, bricklayers, block layers. My first day on the job, they assigned me to carry cinder blocks to the masons so that they could lay the foundation in a bunch of apartments that they were building. And it was about all I could do to carry one 8-inch cinder block on the first day. But by the end of the summer, I was carrying two 12-inch cinder blocks, just like they were wooden toys, you know? I was strong. Ah, the glory of young men is their strength. But 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little in comparison to godliness is profitable unto all things." We need to communicate to our young people that as Christians, our bodies do not actually belong to us. They belong to God. And therefore, even in our bodies, we are to glorify God and not ourselves. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, this is the primary reason for modesty. And the word modesty is a very interesting word in Scripture, because the same word that is translated modesty regarding our physical appearance and the way we dress in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 9 is translated good behavior in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2. You see, there is to be a modesty about us, not only in the way we dress and our physical appearance, but in the way we behave as well. Modesty suggests a certain amount of humility, a certain amount of restraint, and less of an emphasis on bringing attention to ourselves, with more of an emphasis of bringing attention through our lives to God. And therefore, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Your body should be holy and acceptable unto God. And then there's the message that we need to send to our children regarding their favor with people, their conduct in human society. The world puts a great emphasis on self, the pursuit of and the pampering of self is a great theme in our society, but it is breeding selfishness, inconsiderateness of others, disrespect and arrogance. And it is resulting in a society full of angry people. Why are they angry? Because they want their own way and they can't get it. I hear reports from businesses that young people don't really want to work. They want a job because they want a paycheck. They show up when they want to. Absenteeism is on a rise on the job. But when they show up, they work slowly. They're not very productive. They make a lot of mistakes. Have you noticed any mistakes in things that you've purchased? Have you ever had to take something back because it didn't work right, or wasn't made right, or it was put together wrong, or whatever? I mean, that's happening more and more because people aren't interested in producing a good product. They're interested in getting a paycheck because it's all about themselves. But young people need to understand that a good reputation is a valuable asset. Go to Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure, and whether it be right. Now that rings of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, you shall know them by their fruits. Even a child is known by his doings. The scripture tells us that believers are to have an excellent report among unbelievers, and this all must begin in a young person's life. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5. Where it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, that is, outside of the church. Walk in wisdom towards unbelievers, to them that are without, those that are outside of the church. Walk in wisdom towards them. 1 Thessalonians 4:12, walk honestly toward them that are without. 2 Corinthians 8:21, providing honest things in the sight of men. And 1 Peter 2:12, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles. See, if you want to bring people to Christ, you have to demonstrate in your life that Christ has made a real difference. If you are going to live exactly the same way as unbelievers live, and you're going to have and show in your life all the same symptoms of our culture and society that unbelievers exhibit, as a young person, if you're going to be selfish and rebellious, and there is no evidence that Christ has made any difference in your life, how are you ever going to lead someone to Christ? And so our young people need to understand that their testimony in human society is very important. Your reputation matters. Now, if we might turn our attention with that as a background to this matter of having favor with God, let me begin by saying young people put too much emphasis on the present without considering the consequences of their actions. They smoke and drink without thinking about the long-term health consequences. They do risky things without thinking about what they have to deal with if this risky thing doesn't work. A Florida teenager thought it would be fun to film himself driving. You know, this thing of selfies and filming. Now it's not just taking photographs, but filming yourself doing things. Here he's driving down the highway, and he's got his cell phone filming himself driving. I don't know how he's doing it. But he was so distracted by this, he caused an accident that involved four other vehicles, and he himself was seriously injured and ended up in the hospital. He still didn't learn his lesson. While he's lying in the hospital bed, he uses his phone to post his driving and his crashing on YouTube. When the police saw it, they came in and arrested him for reckless driving and causing the accident. Duh. Two college students posted an ad on Craigslist asking for someone to run over them so that they could get out of finals. They said they didn't want to die, they just wanted to be injured enough that they wouldn't have to take their finals. Really? I want you to go to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. And that sounds like wonderful advice for young people. Woo, okay, go do it. And then there's this little three-letter word, but. What follows? But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. I want to consider each one of these matters. As the way of young people. He says, let thy heart cheer thee. The word cheer, as it's used here in this context, suggests party mode. Yay, party time. Look over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. The word mirth here means it's just for fun. And isn't that what youth is supposed to be all about? Let's just have fun. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 15, then I commend it mirth because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. Well, there you go. Let thy heart cheer thee. Just go have fun. Be in a perpetual party mode. And walk in the ways of thine heart. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 6 and verse 9. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. There's the ways of a youthful heart. The wandering of the desire. Solomon, you know, is writing the book of Ecclesiastes because he was guilty of these things. In chapter 2, he describes verses 1 through 11, the wandering desires of his heart. And he describes in chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, how he indulged himself in all kinds of things and he obtained everything there was to have. And he did everything there was to do. And he saw everything there was to see. And then he came to this conclusion in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So, go party. Let it all be for fun. Follow the wandering desires of your heart and walk in the sight of thine eyes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 8, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Solomon says it again in Proverbs 27 and verse 20. So the eyes of man are never satisfied. Remember the old cliche, curiosity killed the cat? It actually comes from 1598. Ooh, that's a long time ago. The idea has been around for a long time. Actually, in 1598, a man by the name of Ben Jonson wrote a play entitled Every Man in His Humor, and there he said, the care killed the cat. Care in the same sense as it's used in the Bible. Concerns, worry, anxiety, all of that kind of thing. And somewhere along the way, it got changed over to curiosity killed the cat, and we use it today. Because curiosity can lead a person into some very dangerous situations. I know there are a lot of things to see in this world. Some dark things. some hideous things, some immoral things. And when we're young, we're curious. But there are consequences. Go have fun. Be in a party mode. Follow the wandering desires of your heart. Fill your eyes with all of your curiosity. But know this. There's something you need to know, young people. You must know this. Ignorance is not bliss, and what you don't know may hurt you. You must know this. That for all these things, God will bring you into judgment. There will be a day of accountability. For all these things, the things that cheer your heart, loving mirth more than responsibility, the ways of your heart, a wandering desire that seeks pleasure more than responsibility, the sight of your eyes, too much curiosity about the base and sinful things of the world, God will bring you into judgment. He will bring you into accountability for all of this. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, so then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Would you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5? Now, before we read that verse, I want you to hold that place. Go to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. And hold both places, so that you can flip back and forth between them. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6. 16. Hebrews 13, 16. Now, 1 Corinthians 10, 5 says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Hebrews 13, verse 16 but to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. See the contrast there? In one place, God is not well pleased. The other place, God is pleased. Now, which one of those things would you rather have as a condition in your life? That God is not pleased or God is pleased? I hope for all of us that we desire for God to be pleased with us. And that in order to accomplish that, we'll build our lives in the way that we'll do so. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, it tells us that there's only one foundation upon which a life can be built, and that is Jesus Christ. The first and foremost thing that a young person needs to know is Jesus Christ as his Savior. None of the rest of any of this will do a person any good unless their life is founded on Jesus Christ. And that is why we make sure children who are youngest among us have a wonderful opportunity to receive Christ as Savior. How many of the children in our Sunday school have been saved during the time they're in preschool or primary age? How many of you were saved before you were 18 years old? Look at that. You get saved when you're young. Your life is on the foundation. But then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. It's one thing to be on the foundation. It's another thing to build the house. the very first church I was pastor of, and I could tell you a lot of stories, that's another whole episode. It was just the basement. Remember that? It was just the foundation. Things didn't work out too well there, and I could tell you a lot of stories about that. But years later, we happened to be in the area and drove by, and it was still the foundation. It had never been built. It's one thing to have a foundation, but you have to build on it. But you have to be careful how you build on it. And so, God must be included in a child's knowledge for his life to be built properly upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. And a child must understand that our bodies belong to God. He paid a high price to save us, and part of that purchase included our bodies, which will be redeemed in the rapture and resurrection event and glorified and brought into his presence. God will hold us accountable so that we must guard our desires, that they do not wander, and guard our eyes so that they do not look upon the world with approval. Honesty before all men will open many doors of opportunity to witness for the Lord. And pleasing God will bring many blessings into your life. God is, after all, a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And so he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. These messages we need to send to our children. Because only these truths will build a life that will please God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for these truths. Thank you for the parents that are among us who are diligently seeking to give these messages to their children. Thank you for the teachers that are among us who are working with the parents to do the same. We pray for our children. For a teacher can communicate. A parent can give, but children have to receive. Work in the hearts of our young people that they might receive these messages with open hearts, to believe them and to live them. I pray in Jesus' name.